Hey, Changing Perspectives fans. It's Josh here with a special announcement. Stay tuned after this episode for a sneak peek at our Rambling Perspectives. This is the special extra episode only available exclusively to Inside Perspectives Patreon members. All right, enjoy the show. Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
What's happening?
Not much. I mean, that's never true. There's a lot going on, but I think we're supposed to just say not much.
What are those? Are those referred to as something in the zeitgeist, like small talk, or when you say, "Hey, how are you doing? Not too bad, yourself?" Like, do people really? I don't know.
I'm sure there's a term for it, but I don't know. Maybe we should try to not say those.
What should we say instead?
Like, "Hi, Jenny. Good to see you. I like your coat." I don't know, but something complimentary rather than like a question.
What's that?
Because you must do that all the time in work meetings. You have all those like schmoozy work meetings where you talk about nonsense like, "How was your weekend? What did you do?" And you don't really want
to
know.
I try not to.
You don't really want people. You don't want people to tell you.
I try not to actually get involved with that if I can help it.
Oh, okay.
I'll keep my camera off until that stuff's done. And then, and then I'll turn it back on. Once we get into the meeting proper and start talking about the content that was plan to be discussed, then I'll turn the camera on. But maybe I should be nicer. I don't know.
Maybe. So what are we talking about?
Well, this
about
is episode 109. Welcome, everybody, back to the Changing Perspectives podcast. January is always kind of a funky, busy month, coming off the holidays, going back to school, and sports restarting, and all that kind of good stuff. So
looking back at my medical records, I always get a sinus infection mid-January.
Yes, you do.
So I'm fresh back from the doctor with my annual January script of a prednisone taper and an antibiotic.
Oh, you got prednisone too?
Fun times.
You didn't say that.
Yeah, I don't like that. But works.
Yeah, we haven't been as consistent as we would have liked to have been doing weekly episodes, but we're back.
But we're still trying. It's still something we want to get to do. Yeah.
Yeah, and more importantly, we will be right after this recording a special episode, which is our monthly Rambling Perspectives, which is a special offering to our Patreon group. So we'll give a reminder and a shout out at the end for all the different options for Patreon, for joining our Patreon page.
Great. All right. Sounds good.
So I'll give you a peek behind the curtain. Jenny's yelling at me via the chat for the record.
I didn't know if you'd be able to see it.
Oh, I saw it. So you said I need to sit up?
Well, yeah, because for those of you that are Patreon members,
I'm sitting in a new spot to record, which is on our kitchen island. Yeah. And it's higher than I normally, so I don't know what to do here. Should I?
And if you are, no, I don't mean posture wise. I mean, like, so if you're a Patreon member, you get these, depending on the level of your Patreon membership, you have video access to our recordings. And so for those people that want to watch us on video, they cannot see you really, Josh, because I'm getting the anytime you like looked at your camera, we're just seeing like from your eyeball up.
Really?
Can you tilt your camera down?
Yes. No, I see myself completely.
Yes, but then do you see a lot of headspace above you? That's better. You're centered.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It also looks like you're wearing a crown of leaves, too.
That's our wall decor.
Right. I do like our wall decor.
Okay. Anyway, so you said I was sniffling?
Yeah. You're doing your, nervous tics.
I am. But I'm feeling a little stuffy.
So you should go get a January
maybe
dose.
Maybe I'll steal a couple of your augmentum. If you don't finish the whole 10 days,
that's
I'll
not
grab
how that works.
Uh-huh. I'll use it for 3 days.
No.
I'm just kidding.
We do not condone sharing.
I actually don't like taking antibiotics in general.
I know.
Because
me neither.
We can talk all about drug-resistant organisms and the creation of those by the over-prescribing of antibiotics. But
yeah, I love you a lot, but your microphone is scratching on your shirt collar.
And, not but, and.
So I love you a lot, and.
How's that? Is that better? Okay.
That's better, yeah. All right, so what are we actually talking
about?
Well,
I think that we are going to discuss, I don't think I know, another relationship topic, which we've done a lot of these recently, but I think people like them. And I think that was amongst one of the most popular subjects in general for all of our 100 plus episodes is the relationship ones. But we will be coming back with a mental health one and maybe a parenting one before you know it. We'll try to have a few more of those. But today we're going to be talking about misunderstandings in relationships. What does that mean? I think that means if you have a false impression about something, or there's like some conflict or stress or just friction in a relationship, does it stem from a misunderstanding? And how basically how to prevent these. So I did a little bit of research and I found this marriage.com article, which is the 10 reasons why misunderstandings happen in relationships. So we're going to go through those. Is that
okay?
Good with you?
Yeah. I haven't read the article, so I'm wondering if I could guess them. Maybe I need to hear the first one to kind of know what angle it's taking.
Okay. Well, the first thing I need to do is forward this to you so you can throw it into wherever you need to throw it. So I'll do that as we're talking here.
And I will just sit here and do nothing.
I'm done already. It's that quick.
While you are. Oh, yeah. That was fast. Okay.
See, that's why sometimes I don't look at you because I'm running a show on my computer.
Okay.
So the first one here is poor listening skills. It says one of the reasons why misunderstanding in a relationship occurs is because both parties might not exhibit good listening skills when their partner is conversing with them. Usually when two people are discussing, one of the individuals may not might not go beyond the hearing phase. So the difference between hearing and listening, do I hear you? I hear you making noises, but am I really listening, you know, to what you're saying? So what do you think about that, Jenny?
Well, I think in general, that is why miscommunications happen, is because people don't listen to hear the content. They listen to formulate their response. And so often people, when they're listening to someone talk, they're kind of just controlling themselves, waiting for the first moment when they can interject and say what their response is. And I always think about how, you know, we learn how to read and write and speak in school, but we never really learn how to listen.
Right.
We don't learn those listening skills. So I feel like that's a very basic one. Like, yeah, duh. Obviously, communication, misunderstandings in a relationship happen because people aren't listening.
So I think that that's a good point about formulating what you're going to say instead of listening. I think that happens in all kinds of situations. And how?
Yeah. Well, and there's pressure to not have there be silence, right? For there to be this kind of like really quick back and forth, like I speak, then you speak, and there's no kind of dead air or silence because silence makes people uncomfortable. But really, we should be using silence, and that's where people should be utilizing time to formulate their response. Although you do that, I think, too much.
Okay. Oops.
Right?
Well, you need to
explain like
that.
When we're, I feel like when we are having a conversation, or I'm also thinking about like when you're out ordering a coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, or and you're standing there at the like menu board, and the person is like, "Can I help you?" And you're like, "I don't know yet." And then you just sit there. staring. That silence is uncomfortable for a lot of us.
Do that at Dunkin' Donuts. I know exactly what I order.
Okay. Okay.
But I know what you're saying. Yeah.
But you do that anywhere else. Yeah. But I think you also do that in – actually, it's interesting because sometimes I hear you on your work calls because you're basically on call 24/7. So I often hear your side of the conversation without any personal information being disclosed, right? And I often – you know, you can sort of hear like the like Charlie Brown teacher sort of version, like wah, wah, wah of what someone else is saying. And I often hear them stop. And then there's this like what feels for me like an uncomfortable pause as you are formulating your response, because you are formulating a thoughtful, meaningful response, right? Rather than responding quickly. So all that
I'm
to
actually
say,
trying to listen.
Right. I think there's a little lag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
I have a lag. And it drives our youngest child crazy. Yes. And often he'll be like, I'm not talking to you anymore. Because he'll say something to me and my brain, I think it's like clunky in there. I envision it visually. It's like the information is there and it's like a pinball machine that's getting kind of knocked around and it takes a minute. And so I'm like, what? And it's still working. And then he'll start to re-say the question again and it like clicks and I'm like, oh, I know what you said now. And then I answer, but it drives him crazy.
Do you have that lag professionally?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. No, I don't think so. I think that I use my brain differently mm-hmm. professionally than personally. And I think that that is part of what contributes to it. I think when I'm like not working, my brain is sort of like, I don't know, it closes the fast routes or something.
Yeah.
And doesn't work as well. I think there's also a component of like exhaustion by the end
That's
of the
true.
Day.
That's definitely true. But I think it's important mm-hmm. for couples to talk about that and understand when someone is, you know, tapped out of their listening skill ability, or it's not going to be as effective as it was earlier or whatever point after a long day at work or whatever.
I guess so. I would guess that that's probably another item on the list is some component of like not communicating at the right time. Right. Like trying to have an important conversation when one member of the partnership is tapped out emotionally and can't, or is doing something else and can't attend to it or needs some more time. So I'm interested to see what the other nine are.
Well, let's find out. Number two, disrespecting your partner's feelings. Some spouses are used to invalidating their partner's feelings, which should not be. In a relationship, you need to respect your partner's emotions and feelings and try your best to provide a solution. I don't know about that last.
Yeah, I have the, I was on board until the provide a solution part. What's your hesitation about that?
Well, I think it's not about like always trying to find a fix, right? Like I think the most important takeaway from that, I think just from experience, is discounting. Being careful not to discount. Mm-hmm. What your partner is feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I think the goal should be validating, right? Not just respecting, but validating your partner's feelings mm-hmm. or maybe even approaching it from a place of curiosity, right? Like your feelings are your feelings. You can't necessarily control your feelings, right? Your sort of like automatic feelings. Although I know we could sort of get on a sidetrack here about like toxic positivity and folks being like, but you can control how you feel about something. But we should be doing that across the board, right? With anybody, like friends, family, we should be respecting how they feel about something. But I don't necessarily think that translates into, what was the word? Finding a solution.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that actually can cause problems, right? Like if I come to you and all I'm really wanting is for you to like validate my feelings and hear and let me vent, and you're not doing that, or maybe you are doing that and you're also telling me what I should do and offering a solution, then that's going to feel like I'm being shut down in a way.
I agree. The last couple sentences I do agree with. It says, when your partner complains about something to you, don't wave it off like it's nothing. ensure you understand what they're talking about and see eye to eye with them. It's not seeing eye to eye with what they're saying. I think it's seeing eye to eye with how they're feeling, like understanding how they're feeling.
Yeah, because I showing think, compassion. I don't know.
This is like you're trying to like fix things and come to an agreement. You know, like there's, I don't know. I've always, I think earlier on in our relationship when we were younger, I definitely try to fix things more than I do now. I think just based on experience, we've been together for almost 30 years. I just want to make sure that I'm listening and I validate your feelings. And even I think in a good way that I've learned to show that is to say some stuff like that must really suck or that must be really tough. I'm sorry. Or even the other side. I mean, so exciting, right? If you're excited about something or happy about something.
Yeah, I think you also have, I think it comes a little bit naturally for you at this point because we've done therapy sure. together and we've been together for so long and we've, you know, done this podcast for a long time. So we've sort of done extra reading and research about stuff like that. But also I think that those are skills you need as a manager and a director sure. at work, right? So mm-hmm. there's like this professional sort of training and insight that you have around that as well. That a lot of people don't have, right? So how do you learn that?
Well, I'm a proponent of, if you're in a long-term relationship, to go to a couples therapist, even if you think everything is hunky-dory. We haven't done our couples therapy episode mm-hmm. yet. That's on the docket. I know. Or even just, you know, reading an article like this or doing any sort of work with an app or a couples app or whatever. And do you hear a gigantic buzz behind me? What are you typing? Mm-hmm. Just say it.
The microphone is really scratchy. Can you like pull it up and like wrap it around your ear and then put it in your ear? Like just make it a little higher.
What's funny is it's almost just as bad as the microphone is you typing.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Tip that. Let me see if I can fix this.
That is not technical. Stay tuned for technical difficulties.
We can cut this out.
No, like just like loop it around your glasses. This feels like this should be a simple solution. Is that better?
That's what you said?
Yeah. I know.
I might need to grab the microphone, the other mic, like you're doing for this, which is fine. We could try that for the rambling.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay. So you're a proponent of folks going to therapy to learn how to do that. Or I guess at a bare minimum, like just being aware, right? Like being aware of, I guess approaching your conversations mindfully, right? With your partner and being like, what is my go-to? Do I try to solve their problems? Do I not validate their feelings?
Or,
and could I maybe
work on that? Well, I think too, maybe actually saying to your partner, I don't need you to solve this for me. I just need to vent. Can I vent mm-hmm. for a minute about something?
So toward sort of taking that responsibility yourself, right, as the person initiating the conversation.
Like I know that there's things, you know, if I have a tough day at work or something happens that, or you know, a tough practice, the kids aren't paying attention to me or something. Like I might want to come to you and say, "Hey, how was your day? Well, here's what happened." But I don't need you to solve it. I just need you to listen for a minute, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that's important.
I think so too. All right. So what else?
Number three, seeing your partner as a competitor. In some relationships, spouses view each other as competitors instead of partners. This is one of the reasons why common misunderstandings in relationships occur. You need to always remember that you and your partner should move the relationship to greater heights. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means in relation to competition.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time. Like, what are people competing about?
If you're
about?
Always competing with your partner instead of complimenting them, you might experience misunderstandings in the relationship.
So, like, competing around things like who is the more tired or who has done the most around the house or, like, who's the most stressed, like, stuff like that?
Is that's that how I – they don't really go into detail, but that's how I interpret it.
Are we ever going to find an article where we're both like, I love this article. I agree with everything they say. I feel bad.
No, because we're – I'm not a writer like you are, but, you know, I write trainings and stuff and training content. So I write and you write a lot and we're both professionals and we've been doing this for a little bit. So yeah, I mean, it's okay for us to be critical of what we're reading. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that goes back to understanding feelings, I think. Like, I don't need to know that I'm working the hardest or I do something better than you or my feelings are more important. I think it's a partnership to your relationship health, right? Like that, like your goal. I think that that's what they're trying to say. Like, you want to have a fulfilling, loving relationship. And I think the way to do that is to not, you know, be in competition. Like, my life is harder than yours or my feelings are more important than yours. Right. I think it's about compromise, not about competition. Maybe that's what it should have been. Compromise, not competition. I don't know. What do you think?
Okay. I mean, I think that makes sense. I guess I do see the notion of competition come up, with couples that around sort of what I was talking about, like the, if a partner is coming to someone complaining about how, like, they're tired with, I don't know, adjusting to life with a newborn, and then their partner gets a little bit defensive. So maybe it's more of defensiveness. Mm. Like, I'm tired too. I only got 4 hours of sleep last night and you got five. Or if we're talking about newborns, then it's, I only got like an hour of sleep last night and you got an hour and 10 minutes. Right. I think that there's a way to validate each other's feelings without invalidating your own.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm thinking about us as like an American culture and how we value the notion of competition. Like, we're pretty competitive as a
people. Yeah, we are.
I feel like.
And well, in all right? settings, and we sort right? of, like, I think it's just, it's human nature, I think, right?
I don't know that it's human nature. I think it nature. Is. I don't know.
I think it comes from evolution.
Like competing for resources to stay alive. Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I guess then we're drilling down to, like, you know, post-apocalyptic stuff, right? Yeah,
like, you know, even I think we're always judging in it. I think we're involuntarily judging other people and comparing ourselves to other people. And I think that breeds competition. Be like, oh, you know, if you arrive in a new setting where you don't know anybody, and let's say it's a social setting, right? I think that your tendency is to say, how am I in comparison to everybody around me? I hope that I'm better than them, or I hope that I got my stuff more together than them. If you're a parent and you're in a school setting, right? That's like some sort of parent assembly and you don't know anybody around you. You don't know, like, you're just like, oh, I'm looking around and be like, oh, am I the better parent than people around me? I think people are just always comparing themselves to other people.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think that there's a lot of people that don't do that. Like, I feel like people who are pretty secure and self-confident.
I was just
going to
say, is it about insecurity?
Yeah, I think that's about insecurity, right? Like, if you're saying that you're walking into a school assembly, which, by the way,
I know.
This is probably for our ramblings episode. Yep, you know about the Thursday night thing? Okay. I just saw that on the calendar today. I would say that that's probably about your own insecurities. I would say that when you go to that event on Thursday night and you walk in, it's like a, I don't know, college planning thing, because that's where we are now with our oldest. If you're, I think you probably will be walking in and like feeling insecure and like, I don't know, you're having thoughts about that. But I think there will be a lot of people that walk in and don't care what anyone thinks of them, sure, or where anyone else's kids are in the process. So I don't know that it's human nature, because we don't need to be competing for resources now, right? Like if we all were in the wild, or it was a post-apocalyptic scenario, or there were zombies or something, then yeah. I mean, I guess during COVID, we needed to be competing for like toilet paper in some ways, right? But on a general day-to-day, we're not really competing for resources with other people. So I don't know that it is human nature to be competitive. But it's interesting, because I was just reading a piece from Whitney Fleming. Whitney Fleming writes. She is amazing and very insightful about all things parenting teens. And she was talking about sort of that competitive nature and how we as parents, especially parents of teens, place that on our kids, right? Like we are we are just perpetuating this like competitive nature of our kids, right? Like posting, you know, honor roll, yes, or National Honor Society or captain of things. I'm not talking about anyone specifically here, because I just said captain, and the person who is in our life that just got named captain, everyone should be shouting that from the rooftops, not our child, but I love this person. I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm talking, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like there are many times where there'll be lots of parents posting their stuff about something and we will deliberately not, because it feels a little showy and competitive. Anyways, Whitney's article said it far, in a very eloquent way. I have to read that, because I feel the same way. I don't, what we do.
Yeah. I don't like to do that. Unless it's something that, I don't know, that our boys want public.
I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to find that balance, right? Between, I guess now we're shifting, and this is a subtopic that we could do, is like, how do you embrace publicly being proud of your children, especially your teens, without perpetuating this sort of competitive notion, right? And I think as you are a kid going through like junior and senior year of high school, that starts to become very like evident, right? Like we live in a school district where they really heavily push four-year colleges, and I think to the detriment of kids that don't make that choice. And so they make it seem like those kids are less than. And so there's all this focus on like where kids are going for college, but not on like what are the other kids
doing? Well, even
doing
on this thing that I'm going to, I don't think it has anything to do with anything besides post-secondary education.
Right, and so do they have a similar night for students who are not going to choose a four-year degree? Mm-mm. No, I don't think they do. If they do, they haven't communicated that to us. I don't think that we are competitive as a species because we need to be. I think that we are competitive as a society, especially as Americans, because we've been conditioned to be that way.
Listen, I think that the bottom line is don't be competitive with your partner, your spouse, in a negative way, where you compare yourself to them and you're saying that I'm better than them, or my whatever is more important. But I also think, though, you can have fun competition like we do every night.
Yeah, we play, I highly recommend this. We play what we now call Wordle Slam. And so we do Wordle, but
TM,
it's not like
Jenny and Josh,
you know, right. It's not, you know, it's the New York Times crossword puzzle thing, Wordle. But it's not like who can get it in the lowest amount of moves. It's okay, ready, set, go. We start at the exact same time, and it's whoever does it first. It doesn't matter if you take all six guesses. It's whoever gets there first. So certainly competitive. And then we are such dorks. Then we also this is our exciting nighttime routine as we're laying in bed. And then we play Waffle, which is another word thing, and then Quintessential, which is another word thing. And we start that all off with Hurdle, which we play together. It's a little competitive.
We play it together for the most part.
I was going to bring that up, like that we have this playful.
Yeah, I think playful competitiveness. I think that's healthy. Is awesome, and it allows for another connection, right?
Yeah, I think competitiveness is important, and I think competitiveness is important for everybody, right? I guess, yeah, I think I believe that a little competitiveness in your life is good for everybody, but it has to be a healthy balance. And I don't know that, and I think it can get very unhealthy in a relationship very quickly.
I would agree. All right, so let's move on because we're taking a long time to go through just the first three, Jenny.
As we do.
We might not get to all 10.
Let's get to all 10. We have 30 minutes left. We can do this.
Comparing your partner to another person. This is number 4. Another mistake that causes misunderstanding in a relationship is when partners compare each other to a third party. It is a sign of disrespect that can cause conflict in a union. Frequently, it is perceived as compelling someone to drop their identity for another person. I'm not really liking this article that much. What do you mean frequently?
I'm not either. I don't like, I'm trying to think of, but sometimes wouldn't it be helpful to like be able to be like, I don't know. I need you to, when I'm thinking about parents of small kids, when we roll up at a family party, and I'm not talking about us specifically, when we roll up at a family party and I'm taking all 3 kids out of the car, I need you to help me more like your brother does, with his kids, something like that. Like, I think sometimes that comparison is helpful. Maybe I don't know. Maybe that's my learning style, but I don't know what the article is talking about. I mean, it sounds like so far a lot of these are just really
rather than
moves.
It
like,
says rather than comparing your partner to another person, try to appreciate them for their uniqueness. Eventually, you will discover that their unique attributes make them outstanding and probably better than you those you compare them to. I don't know if you're comparing your partner to.
Can I interrupt you because I'm going to do a little research while you're talking? Who wrote this article?
Hold on.
Oh, you emailed it to me, so I can look that up. Go ahead, keep going.
Well, now I'm already going up. This is by Raquel Pace, who is an expert blogger. It says
an expert blogger.
Hold on, I'm clicking on her name.
No, you keep talking. I have a theory about her. No shade, Raquel. Rachel.
Is it Rachel or Raquel?
No shade, R. Pace. I don't know. Rachel? I think it's Rachel.
Well, now my computer is thinking. I can't get back to
that. Oh.
Hold on.
Not good.
Stand by, everybody.
Are these all hers? She writes a lot of articles.
From marriage.com.
Yeah, 10 things to discuss before the honeymoon, what to look for in a guy, 35 good qualities in a man. What is a convalidation ceremony? Yeah, okay. So this was my theory. No shade, religious folks, but my theory was this sounds like someone who is writing an article that convinces people to stay in a relationship rather than leave an unhealthy relationship. I'm banging the desk. So I apologize if that is coming across. Again, no shade at all to religion, but this sounds like a
don't get
here
divorced.
Are some toxic qualities. Yeah, here are some toxic qualities because so far a lot of these sort of feel toxic. Like if you're in a relationship that's
doing
this, if
you're with somebody that's comparing you to someone else, get out of that.
But and so my theory was, and now my theory was, this is coming from a religious person, probably a Christian person. And so the third article down is if you are a member of the Catholic faith, you may be interested to know more. So I think that she is writing from a place of where you get married and and leaving that relationship is not an option. So here are some ways, right? This is what happens when like things sort of connect in my head. It takes me a minute to externally process them. I think I could write the same article saying, here are 10 toxic traits to watch out for in a partner. And if this is your partner, you need to get in therapy right now and you and your partner need to be in therapy right now and figure out ways to work through this rather than sort of normalizing this as if it's right. So I think that's why you and I are like looking at each other like, I don't understand what this means.
I think it's important. It was an important distinction and realization that we made, and it's probably helpful for people.
I wonder now, is this a religious leaning
website?
Marriage.com?
I don't know. Let's go through the rest of these. Compatibility problems is number 5. If you and your partner do not align on several fronts, misunderstandings in a relationship can happen quite regularly. Compatibility is one reason partners find it hard to see each other's standpoint because they are fixated on theirs. Okay, I don't like this one either. Because compatibility is not agreeing on opinions or having the same likes and dislikes at all.
Well, yeah, but I do think there needs to be, in most situations, I do think there needs to be sort of enough compatibility.
But how do you define compatibility? Do you define it as agreeing on the same things?
Well, I was going to say, no, I think there needs to be alignment in some areas, right? Especially if you're going to be raising children together.
Yeah.
I don't think compatibility, I think alignment on enough of the sort of big things in life to be able to be in a healthy relationship.
Okay.
That's what I would argue. And I don't think that there's like a cookie cutter, like these are the things you have to be in alignment on. No, I think it's more so like you have to have probably more in alignment on the big things than out of alignment.
Well, and is it, you know, maybe there's something to be said for the things that you disagree on or don't, or like dislikes and likes aren't the same. Those fitting.
I'm just going to hold on.
I had a good thought.
In another life. I know, but in another life, I'm an investigator. The founder of marriage.com, no shade here, went to the convent of Jesus and Mary for 12 years. That was their undergraduate. And then they went to a Christian college. No shade. I'm not intending this as shade. I'm saying that I do think that that site as a whole, and I'm not saying every author does, but I'm saying it feels like now this site does lean towards the side of marriage as a sacrament. You marry one person and you make it work.
Now I understand.
Do not. Right. And so in that context, this article makes perfect sense. And so if you are someone who is like, I could never leave my partner, then these are great ways to frame problems in a relationship. And I'm not saying we can't, the rest of us who aren't leaning that way, I'm not saying we can't gain things from that, but I think it's really important to understand a piece's bias.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I talk about this a lot in like research, but even things like this, there's bias here. And that is not, and I am very biased the other way. That there are partnerships that are just toxic. Mm-hmm. There are people that should not be together. They don't work well together. There's core problems that probably, well, I believe most problems can be solved, but both partners have to buy in completely. And if there's not that buy-in, I do strongly believe that sometimes your quality of life and your happiness is more important. Anyways, I just wanted to sort of follow that thought through there, that this is this whole article is couched in that aspect.
Yeah, I think what I was going to say was, I think that how you deal with the differences in a partnership speaks to your compatibility, right? Like you don't like coffee. Right. I am a coffee fiend. That doesn't, and it sounds simple, but like that doesn't stop us from being compatible. And the fact that you support, you know, the fact that I love coffee and you get me coffee related gifts and the fact that you like tea, I think that I support that and make you tea here or whatever. Like, I think that speaks to our compatibility. I like cigars. You know, every now and every couple times a year, I enjoy a cigar with a whiskey.
That's a better example, right? Because yes. I have asthma, right? So you like cigars. Yes. I have asthma, and one of my triggers is smoke.
But where did you take me our last anniversary last year? Not this year, but the last year.
To a cigar bar. Well, to like a speakeasy that also was a cigar bar. And I planned for it and knew that I would have to essentially burn my clothes and jump into the shower immediately upon returning to the hotel room so I could wash the smell and the smoke out of my hair. But so for me, that feels like compromise and not like conflict resolution, because we're not compatible on that, right? Like or when we were in San Antonio, we sat outside at a cigar bar.
But my point is, our ability to handle those things together is part of what makes us compatible. Right? That's my point.
Couldn't we say that's about, is that really compatibility, or is that like how important we feel like the other's comfort is?
No, I think that it's not about comfort. I think it's about just supporting the differences. It's just supporting the differences and figuring out how to, you know, function together. Like, I wish olives and pickles didn't exist in the world. You wish mayonnaise and ketchup didn't exist in the world, right?
Well, I don't wish that they didn't exist, because I'm happy for people that enjoy those.
What? Don't ruin the facetiousness. It's conjecture, Jenny. All right, let's move on. Speaking of tea, assumptions. That's number six. Many partners fall into the assumption zone unknowingly, which is why a relationship occurs. What? I don't understand what that means. You need to know that until your partner confirms something to you, you might not know how they are feeling or what is going on. However, some spouses are not patient enough to discover what is happening with their partner. Instead, they assume based on their instincts, which gets the other party fired up. It says assumptions can wreck a relationship if it is a habit, and it should be avoided by all means. There's a lot of like what are those called? Like final statements or
like conclusions? Well, like,
by all means, or every time, or what's that called?
Statements?
Yeah. There's
absolutes.
A lot of absolutes in this article. Which I guess, if you're a Christian or a Catholic, marriage is an absolute, right?
For many, but not for all.
I don't know. I agree that you shouldn't assume things. You should have an open and honest relationship. And say what's on your mind. You talk about that all the time.
And ask for clarity, right? Like approaching it with a place of curiosity.
You talk about all the time how in movies and TV shows, if people just were honest and didn't assume things, things could
like
be...
Yes, 95% of the conflicts in any like TV or movie essentially feel to me like, oh, if that person just didn't assume that that was the meaning behind what that person did, we could have avoided this whole movie. Mm-hmm. But I think that's true in life too.
I mean, I think that don't assume. Just have a conversation, talk, be open. That's a pretty straightforward one. Choice of friends and acquaintances.
Oh boy.
Sometimes misunderstanding in a relationship happens when there is a disagreement on the choice of friends and acquaintances to keep. Not all spouses are comfortable with the type of friendship that their other half keep, and it can cause conflict between the two of them. What do you think about that?
I don't really know what that means. I mean, like,
I don't know.
I don't like, oh no, you have befriended a mass murderer. I don't like that as your wife. Like, does Rachel go on to explain more about that?
Well, not really. She says one of the reasons could be insecurity because they can lose their partner to another person. Another reason might be the fear of their partner being influenced by friends and acquaintances whose characters cannot be vouched for. I don't know about that. I don't know about this one. I mean, like, I don't know.
Ooh, that feels like, I don't, this is so not fair of me to say, but that feels like,
Christians only?
Yeah.
I know. That felt like, I knew you were going to say.
They're hanging out, right?
I knew you were going to say.
Is that what that means? Because what does that mean? I mean, aside from like egregious things, like, yeah, you're hanging out with a murderer, or maybe you're hanging out with someone who routinely deals drugs, or like what other kind of questionable attributes? So, I guess someone who like routinely cheats or something, or cheats.
I feel like if you have a good match, like you have a healthy relationship includes the ability to consider that partner or friend, right? Like you're my best friend. And so mm-hmm. I think
I am your friend.
I think the attributes or characteristics of that, we attract each other, which means we attract the similar people, right? You and I always talk about, oh, there are people, there are peeps, right? Like I think we like the same people outside of us because we like each other, right? And am I making sense? So I don't think that this happens generally. It's like, oh, I don't like that Bob you work with. He's, he does drugs on the side. No. I mean, I don't think that is the case for many people. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I just don't.
I mean, I think it can happen, right? Like, I think, I don't want to say there are people of not good character, right? But I think that there can be people in life that are making poor decisions, right? And are maybe self-sabotaging, or are maybe wrapped up in things that are unhealthy and are dangerous. And other people can become drawn to that for the same reasons, right? But to me, that doesn't – to me, that feels, again, like a bigger issue, right? It's not just like, oh, my partner enjoys hanging out with, sex traffickers or drug dealers or, fill in the blank or, sociopaths. That's not really happening. If that is happening, there's bigger issues going on, right? But if we're talking about, like, I don't like – when he hangs out with Bob because Bob doesn't go to our church, I guess I'm having a really hard time finding out why this is even relevant, but also the first part of that. Yeah, the first part of that feels different. The first part of it, the insecurities, right? Like if I'm hanging out with my male coworker, are you going to be insecure about that, right? That's not about like not liking their friends. That, again, speaks to a larger sort of insecurity and probably trust issue in the relationship. So I feel like so many of these tips, or they're not really tips, but things that can break down communication in a relationship are actually nice ways to say, this is a big problem in your relationship.
Yeah. No, I agree. Okay. I feel bad we're picking this one apart.
Let's keep going. We do that every time. I feel if you are an author and you wind up being the article we talk about, I apologize in advance.
Hey, bad publicity is still publicity. This number eight is, so we got three more. We're going to try to wrap this up. We're getting to the end of our time here. Another reason a partner might feel misunderstood is in a relationship might be finances. That's number eight is finances. If one partner is earning higher than the other, their actions might be misinterpreted lots of times because of their financial status. Also, when it comes to footing the bills, amongst other expenses, it could be a cause of conflict because finances is a sensitive issue. So it feels like this might be something that is maybe at the beginning of a relationship.
It could be at the beginning of a relationship.
Finances and financial strain in general could cause strain on a relationship, but again, we're talking about misunderstandings, right? So,
yeah, I mean, I think a lot of couples struggle with that after they have children, right? And then one maybe makes a decision to stay home, or to reduce their work outside of the home. Maybe they go from working full time to part time, or to not earning income outside of the home. And so, I do see that. that does become sort of an inequity, and can feel like a, almost like a bargaining tool in some ways. Right. Like I do see that with primarily women, some women who come to me after, you know, birth, they're sort of in that developmental stage of their life, often feel like they can't do things to take care of themselves. Like, I don't know, go get coffee with friends and have a babysitter watch the child because they're not bringing in income and their job is to take care of the kids. And so they can't spend other excess money. And then also that is sometimes reinforced by the partner about that. So this piece is, I think, important.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, if finances is causing misunderstandings and issues that far down the road, I feel like you as in the couple missed an opportunity on one of these other things way farther upstream. Like assumptions.
I don't think
or,
so.
One of the other early ones.
Well, I think just not communicating,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I think that when this happens, in a relationship, it's an opportunity to communicate, right? And renegotiate things and share very, you know, honestly that like, I don't feel like I have an equal voice in our decision-making because I'm not bringing in the income or something like that. Or, I don't know, fill in the blank about the emotion,
yeah,
right?
No, absolutely. Okay. All right, two more. So number nine is always claiming to be right. When it comes to the causes of misunderstanding and communication, one of the things to look out for is when partners claim to be correct. Before you take your stance on anything, you need to consider where your partner is coming from. Even when you claim to be correct, putting your partner down can get them angered and result in conflict. Partners who know they are suitable to communicate their reasons to the second party diplomatically without making them feel bad. I think this comes down to back to compromise or just open communication and not assuming, maybe even a little bit of unhealthy competition, right? I don't know, but you are always right, so. I'm just teasing.
That is not true.
That's a little Friend season 10 callback there. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that one?
I agree. I think that's, I don't know. What am I agreeing on? These are 10 things that can lead to miscommunication. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Misunderstanding. These are things that are problems in a relationship. Do not do.
Do not always claim to be right. That's not healthy.
In any relationship, like a parent,
working relationship,
a child, a working relationship, buying, ordering something in a restaurant, like none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. So there's
I was just going to say, sorry to cut you off, but especially if you oversee people, like in a managerial or leadership relationship, in my opinion, based on my experience, don't always claim to be right. That you walked 5 miles up and down in the snow and you did it way harder, even though you did it 10, 15 years ago. No. Don't always claim to be right. And in fact, admit when you're wrong. That goes a long way.
It goes a huge way. Right.
Okay. This last one, I definitely agree with, and I think it's the best one. This is number 10. No quality time with your partner. So not spending quality time with the partner or giving them good attention can be another reason why misunderstanding in a relationship happens. And of course, Jenny and I are proponents of date night and time together, whatever that looks like. You know, one of the things we do is host a podcast together, among the many things. So I think quality time is huge. And that's actually one of the five love languages, right, Jenny? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It sure is.
So if you want more on love languages, listen to that episode. But we are due another part two for love languages.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all of Rachel's.
Was that our list?
Rachel's 10 things that may lead to misunderstanding in relationship. You can find that article at marriage.com. We'll drop the link in the show notes.
I would add, these are also 10 things. Let's see. I want to rename that article. 10 traits in your marriage. Yeah. 10 marital traits that indicate couples therapy would be helpful.
I agree.
Or 10 traits that indicate you might be in a toxic relationship, something like that. Like, I don't want to make light, but some of these are, if you're listening at home and you're like, oh, that is me, or all of these are my partner, then it's really time to sort of, I guess I would say, go to a therapist and talk about that is where I would start with that.
You can start checking these off by looking at therapy as quality time. Right?
Yes, I have a lot of to say about that. Yeah. But we'll have to save that for the episode on couples therapy.
All right. Well, Jenny, that brings us to the end of the episode.
We did it. We kept it under an hour.
So that is you've been listening to episode 109. Real quick, let me pull up our Patreon page to give folks a little plug, and so you know what the options are for those that aren't yet on our Patreon page. We have 3 different options for you. I don't know why my Google is in German. I just had to switch it back to English. That's weird.
So you have
3 different membership levels. You can join us on patreon.com/thechangingperspectivespodcast. For $3 a month, you can join Supportive Perspectives. You get a shout out by name in at least 1 episode each month of your membership. Access to our members only online community where you can discuss podcast episodes and connect with other listeners. For $5 a month, that goes up to the Extra Perspectives membership, which you get the same 2 things in the first level, but then you get access to exclusive Changing Perspectives merchandise and early access to new episodes. And finally, our most popular level, the Inside Perspectives, for $7 a month. All of those things in the first 2, but in addition, you get video recordings of every episode, the monthly Rambling Perspectives episode, shout outs by name, and all that fun stuff from before. So join us, please, on Patreon. Anything else to add on that? Any other plugs or things you want to shout out, Jenny?
Let's see, plugs. I have a new grief series that I don't know if that was launched during our last episode. There is a new Understanding Your Grief ebook/workbook. There is also a 5-module course. If you sign up for the course, you get the ebook for free, the ebook/workbook for free. If you don't want to do the course, you can download the ebook itself. So I will put those links in the show notes. And then by the end of January, I hope to have a similar product for anxiety released, at least a workbook, sort of 5 steps to managing your anxiety. The title, it's a working title. Got to figure that out. But be on the lookout for that. I'm trying to put resources together that are more useful than like a meme or a standalone article so that it can be, twofold. One, I can feel like I'm helping more people because I there is limits to how many folks I can see in therapy because I'm a human. and there are limits to how many like episodes we can do. So my goal is to try to put some of that sort of the content that I'm a subject matter expert in out there in an accessible way so that people can also be learning about themselves. So I guess
I feel like you should push one more thing.
I should. What should I be pushing?
The book.
Oh, my book.
No, the other book.
Yeah.
What so book? God Made a Mother.
Oh, but it's not out yet.
Can't you pre-order?
You can. So I will also put those in the show notes as well.
I know, but it's not out yet, but it is.
You're right. You're right. I am very blessed to be one of the contributing authors in the upcoming So God Made a Mother book, which is due to be released in April, but you can pre-order it now. It is number one in the new releases in the motherhood category. So it's a bunch of submissions from authors about their motherhood experience. And so one of my pieces is included there. And these are like fabulous authors. I am so fortunate to be having my words tucked inside the same book as all of theirs. So I will put that link in the show notes. Yeah, that's not on the forefront of my mind. So thank you for that.
Pre-order it from Amazon.
Yes, I'll put that all in the show notes. Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Oh, you pulled the full name out. All right, we have 30. Actually, this will, because of the bumper music, this is going to be a slightly over 60 minutes, but that's okay. This has been fun.
Okay.
This has been episode 109. Be on the lookout for episode 110 coming at you, hopefully next week. And then we are going to throw out a rambling episode to those Inside Perspectives members. That's coming at you very, very soon. All right?
Yes.
All right. Anything else to add, Jenny? All right, everybody,
no,
have an excellent day and an excellent week. Jenny, say bye.
Bye, Jenny.
And now, here's your sneak peek at the Rambling Perspectives extra episode, only available to Patreon members in the Inside Perspectives tier. Enjoy.
Well, we can start off by asking you how you're feeling, because you just got diagnosed with a sinus infection. That sucks.
You just said that like I got diagnosed with something bad. well, let's just dive into it. So I have a really hard time with illnesses. So,
we're diving into that?
Why not?
Let's do it.
Was it the last ramblings that I cried? I think it was.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, I was raised in a household where when we were
bad
sick, stay tuned for that book. Yes, that's not funny, but true. Where it was very often that when the children in the household were sick with legitimate things, there was doubt around the illness, and a lot of pressure to just push through anyways. And so, you know, when that is your experience as a child, you very quickly learn that when you start to feel sick, that maybe you're not, and maybe you're making it up, and maybe you're being a baby, and maybe you're going to inconvenience someone if you have to get picked up from school and come home, or if you have to stay home and then mess up someone's plans for the day. And so that is something that I still have not yet been able to master as an adult. That is still sort of my core, my initial go-to is like, I'm not really sick. I'm just, it's in my head, or I'm being a baby. And you know what? This is perpetuated by a lot of people, like adults, who are like, mind over matter. You know, like, oh, I've been exposed to the flu, or like, you know, I feel like I have a fever coming on, but mind over matter, it must not be true. So I don't know. So for me, I guess when you come from that sort of background, mind over matter, reinforces that message of like,
absolutely.
If you're sick, you're faking, or you wanted to be sick and didn't work hard enough in your brain to not be sick. So it's still your fault.
Right.
Which probably contributed to why by the time I finally sought medical attention for my gallbladder that had died, I had a raging infection and a necrotic gallbladder. Because I was just like, I was like, no, I'm being a baby. Like, this is, you know, it feels like I'm dying, because it was. But I feel this way because I'm a baby and I have a low pain threshold. So, so it's always hard for me to like then go to the doctor and walk in and be like, something's wrong with me, because that little like 7-year-old version of me is afraid that they're going to be like, you're a baby, go to your room. What are you doing wasting my time? You're not really sick. So I don't know. So when you say, how am I feeling? Like that's what I'm feeling. It's just hating that this is still something I struggle with. I should just be able to be like, oh yeah, this is my sinus infection that I get all the time. I'm taking Sudafed every 4 hours and Motrin around the clock. And now I've started sweating when I'm doing anything that's other than sitting on a couch or sitting in session, which is what happens because I don't really get fevers, but I get like clammy and sweaty and chills. Mm-hmm. I should just be like, oh, yep, time to go to the doctor. I need antibiotics and a prednisone taper. But instead it had to be this whole like me this morning, I'm like, do you think I should really go? Am I really sick? Is it in my head? Like, this is a conversation. I'm glad you don't just leave the house when I am that way. And you know what? I've yet to have a doctor around that issues. I've certainly had doctors around period pain before I was diagnosed with endometriosis. So this was also reinforced by medical providers right? Like, you know, I had painful, debilitating periods my whole life, and everyone, all the doctors, until I was, 35? When did we meet Dr. Tuju? Probably late 30s. Until then, it was sort of this notion of like, suck it up, period. Everyone has periods. Every girl has periods, and just deal with it. And until I met that doctor who was like, oh, you have stage 4 endometriosis. This is not how normal periods are. So all of that was reinforced. So that was a tangent.
Yeah, but it was an important tangent, I think.
I don't know, was it?
Yeah, of course.
Maybe people are like, I am for sure listening to this show more often now because Jenny is a crazy person.
You're not a crazy person.
We should maybe release one of these like for a limited time only so people can actually hear what the ramblings are, the rambling episodes.
Oh, that's interesting.
There are a couple people who are like, that's the format I like better on a podcast. I like there to not be topics. I like to just sort of not know what's going to come up, which I appreciate. So maybe we should. Maybe this will be a limited time only thing. Like, yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
I don't know. Yeah, I was saying yeah to myself. It was kind of like a kid in basketball who like gives himself a high five after he makes a shot. That's what I was doing.
Yeah, but
that's my favorite thing to watch in basketball.
Do you mean release these like for